so very diligently here in Mount Vernon, Texas. So welcome aboard. We're glad to have you along for the ride this morning, and we'll continue our study in the book of Matthew. We'll be at chapter 9, beginning at verse 32 here momentarily as we get going and get off the ground. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for in the new year. Sorry that I wasn't with you last week, but our good administrator, because of the holidays, was able to jump in there and play something for us in my absence. The holidays are very inconvenient to a working schedule. I think Christmas gave us an additional 2 days off, and you know, that's fantastic, but there's so much that you can't get done because of these days off. And New Year's was the same way. We ended up having an additional day off. So anyway, glad to be back with you today here the 7th of January 2022. And so to God be the glory that he has given us yet another day to magnify and glorify him throughout all the earth. And the Gospel Radio Network is a big part of that. There are many good works that are out there. And, you know, time would not allow us to go through a list of them, even alphabetically. But we know that here, the Gospel Radio Network is being instrumental in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the globe. I look forward to seeing our good brother Suthoff as he will be here in February for our workshop. And he will be given, you know, the floor for 10 or 15 minutes, I guess, to tell us about the Gospel Radio Network, its progress, her budget for the new year, the broadcasters that are coming along, the change in broadcasters, many different things. He'll be able to tell us a lot about that. Anyway, so We're very grateful for Brother Suthoff and even Brother Smithy, who works so very hard behind the scenes to help things continue to fly in a straight line, as it were. So thanks to all of you that make this possible, certainly the listeners, for without listeners, we really have no network. So thank you to you and to the great administrators that work behind the scenes. As we get going today, certainly we're mindful that there are many listening. I got a text a little while ago from Brother Michael. He said, listening to you this morning, preach the word. I was like, yeah, all right. Michael got to lead the opening prayer the other night at Fruitvale, and he said he was a little nervous about that, but man, what an incredible thing to be able to watch young men grow in the gospel. So anyway, Michael's listening. I know my beautiful wife is listening. She's very ill this morning. She's got a doctor's appointment. So love you very much, and I hope you get to feeling better. And be careful as you go to the doctor. So many people are listening. My mother is listening over in Nashville. She's in the bunker, we'll say, this morning, and is doing well as she looks out the window and sees all of the snow. We got a text Wednesday. Wednesday, I got a text from our sister, Tarita, that she had made her trip safely. And, you know, trying to get ahead of the snow. So lots of people, my son included, over there in the Tennessee-Kentucky area, there in Clarksville, that experienced a lot of that. I know that the East Coast is pretty well getting pounded right now. I saw the news this morning where Jersey and New York and all those places up there in Yankee Doodle Town are just covered up. You know, I would find it hard to live up there, but anyway, some people just love it. So, lots of people listening. I know my brother's listening over there in Southwest Virginia. Good morning to you. I know we've got the Poes listening over there, even in the Alabama-Florida area from time to time. The Smithies, Brother Smithy texted me just a little bit ago, and he's adjusting the dials behind the scenes right now, so I know he's on board. Miss Frida, those that are down there in the San Angelo area, we love them very much and are grateful for them listening in. Know that the McClures listen up in South Dakota, and I know you probably covered up with some snow up there too. But anyway, you know, there's folks listening everywhere. One group of people I always try to salute, and I hope I'm not just boring you to death this morning as you're chomping at the bit to get into a textual study, but we salute our first responders. We love our police. We salute those that are protecting us right this minute, even the announcer that you heard just a few minutes ago, our brother Brian. He's a 22-year veteran of the force here in Mount Vernon, and works very hard on a daily basis to keep us safe, and so we're grateful for him and even his good wife, Randa, for sharing him with our community for so many years. We're mindful of those like our first responding men and women that work hard here. We know that Brad, Eric, Colby, Andy, We've got a bunch of folks just here in our immediate area, members of our congregation here in Mount Vernon, that work daily to keep folks safe, whether it's over in Lancaster, whether it's over in Garland, Sunnyvale, wherever it is, even right here on our own zip code. We love you guys, and thank you for listening as you have opportunity. Kaysen's out there driving an ambulance somewhere as we speak, I imagine. What a blessing to know that so many of you are out there paying attention and listening to the Gospel Radio Network. Love you very much, and thank you for listening. To our bulletin board, we try to mention things as often as we can, and so we do have a pretty healthy stack here in front of us, so bear with me as we go through these announcements. They're certainly beneficial for us even in the local area. First of all, starting Sunday, running to Wednesday, the DeKalb congregation, not too awful far from here, up there on Highway 82, they're inviting in this Sunday to Wednesday, the 12th, they're inviting in Phil Sanders. Phil is well known, certainly through his writing capabilities, his speaking on television capabilities. Phil is a great soldier of the cross. And so if you have the opportunity, even this week, to get up and hear Brother Phil, you'll be greatly benefited. Now, I know that you are going to be in your regular congregational setting on Sundays, and that's fine. But if not, they meet at 9:30, 10:30, and 6. And so you could get up there for that, or you could just go 7 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and be able to listen to Brother Phil. But, again, here's just a thought. I think it's the next week. If I haven't missed, I don't have a flyer, and shame on me, but I believe it's the next week that he's actually going to be teaching at the North Jefferson congregation. I'll do better about getting that flyer and being able to pronounce that properly, but he's coming to North Jefferson very soon, possibly in the next week or two, so he's going to be here locally, and he's going to be over there at DeKalb. So that's going on right around the corner starting Sunday. Then next weekend on the 15th, our great ladies here have put together a young ladies' day, but it is for all ages, ultimately. But they have entitled it Girl Meets World, and I love that title. Some great thought has gone into that. And so our own ladies, our great secretary here, Anthea Fite, she's going to be one of the speakers. So it's going to be Anthea, Geraldine, her dad, ultimately all of them, are attending the Brown Trail School of Preaching, and over there in Bedford area. And so Gerilyn is going to be one of our speakers. One of our great deacon's daughters, Madeline Majors, is going to be a speaker. And another one of our deacon's daughters, Breely Meyer, is going to be one of the speakers. So please know that you're going to be filled with good, sound gospel teaching that particular day regarding Girl Meets World. Also, there's going to be breakout sessions for ladies that are even beyond the 12th grade. So that goes all the way to the top, doesn't it? So please be aware of next Saturday. That's going to be a gigantic event that's going to be here, and it's going to begin at 10 o'clock. And I've also been told here that lunch will be provided. So if you are listening and you can come, please let someone know. You could contact any of the young ladies that I've just mentioned if you're on Facebook or Twitter or any of that other social stuff, or you can just call the office and talk to Anthea directly. And our number, again, if you have maybe forgotten it or laid aside, it is 903-537-4129. 903-537-4129. We'd be glad to hear from you. They need to know, you know, how much food to be preparing, how many, you know, how much material to print off, all that. So please let us know if you're bringing a group. We would be glad to have you. The ladies are really looking forward to that. Also, then, starting the next day, Sunday the 16th, and running to Wednesday the 19th, we have also... back it up a minute. Here we go. The Pattonville. Whew. Come on now. The Pattonville Church of Christ is going to invite Brother Todd Creighton to come to town. Now, Todd, that's where I was looking at the Frisco area. The mention is here. Todd is an elder and a minister at the Frisco Church of Christ in Frisco, Texas. And he also has a great missionary background. He's a great evangelist and travels regularly. And so he is going to be teaching the entire time from Sunday to Wednesday on training right for service. And so they have invited you out to their regular times, obviously. The 16th is a Sunday, and they meet at 9:30, 10:30, and then again at 1:30. Sounds a little bit like us on our first Sundays. And then each night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, respectively, they will meet at 7 p.m. And so, again, that's over at the Pattonville Church, just north of here a little bit. And that's Brother Todd Creighton that's coming. So again, that's next week. Weekend starts next weekend. And then we start getting into our February schedule. Now, with our February schedule, we have the opportunity to offer up yet another one of our Make Me a Servant workshops. And we really look forward to these every year. This is like the 100th year in a row that we've done it or something. It's been going on for a long time. And so we're always the first weekend in February. So you can go ahead and mark every one of the calendars that you've got, even on your iPhone there. Just pick up your iPhone, go to calendar, tap calendar, go down to schedule, and go 22, 23, 24, 25. Mark every first weekend in February for the next 20 years, at least, as far into the future as you can, because that's what we do. And so we're going to be meeting, again, the 5th and the 6th. We carry this in traditionally into Sunday. There might have been a year or two that we didn't do that, but this year we are, and we're carrying it into Sunday. So this year we're going to be considering the idea of peace, be still, even as Jesus commanded the waves and the wind. And so we're going to be looking at the idea of being peaceful amidst a world that has just gone crazy, a world that's gone mad. I heard the other day that they're forecasting in 2022 that the stock market will crash. Really? I don't gamble in that stuff myself, but, you know, when you think about people's pensions and retirement, that's where most of it is. Now, what purpose does that serve other than causing people to go stark raving mad and start cashing out, right? Anyway, a world that's gone mad. People are crazy on the internet regarding violence, regarding schools and Zoom teaching at home, the stock market, you know, COVID, vaccinations, masks. This world has lost its mind. And so we hope to bring a great deal of peace and joy as we remind folks that weekend that God is still in control. And so peace be still. We've invited Carl McCann, Tavares Armstrong, and Scott Dukowski to come on Saturday the 5th and address all of us, as well as one of our elders' wives, Annette McElyea. She will address the women in a private setting downstairs. And then Kay Majors, one of our deacons' wives, a fine young lady, one of the great workers in the jail ministry here in Franklin County. I don't know how she keeps up. I tell you, her calendar is crazy busy. She is a great soldier for Jesus Christ. So she will be teaching the ladies also. That'll be after the lunch hour. Then on Sunday, our great administrator down there at the Home of Recovery, Aaron Anderson, is going to be teaching in the class time on Sunday at 9:30. And then one of our own, Jared Hammond, who teaches, or I'm sorry, is training to teach. He's going to the Brown Trail School of Preaching, I mentioned a few minutes ago. He's coming in to deliver the sermon that day. And then during our sing-out opportunity, where we always gather together even after our lunch on that first Sunday, Jeff Watley is going to be the speaker that day. So we are looking forward to a phenomenal weekend, that is February 5th and 6th, if the Lord allows, 2022. Hopefully he'll allow that. That'll be a great opportunity. And then the last one that I've got here, yes, I finally got to the bottom of the pile at 20 minutes after 9. There is, again, at the DeKalb Church Christ, February the 25th, from 7 to 9:30, they're going to have their 12th annual gospel singing. And so what a great time that is. Again, that's at the DeKalb Church Christ from 7 to 9:30 for a great gospel singing on February 25th. Boom. We got to the bottom of the stack. Well, we are glad to have you with us today. Hopefully these events will fit into your schedule. And you can, you know, go ahead and plan on doing some or all of these things. We've already gotten some word from folks that are planning on coming in for the February the 5th opportunity. And they always do. And so we're looking forward to that great reunion. Sometimes we don't see them but once a year because of the distance in between us. But anyway, I do want to mention a couple of folks to you this morning before we have the opportunity to start our textual study. Please remember some of the great folks that are in our minds and hearts. Our brother Jim. His brother, Jack, over in the Lubbock area, he is suffering with COVID and has been placed on a ventilator. It's been an escalating ordeal where they were trying, obviously, to keep him off of the ventilator, but they finally have reached that point. And so certainly pray for Jim at this particular time as he, you know, is certainly worried about his brother, but pray for Jack that he would be able to heal from this, and certainly all others. We have several that are suffering with COVID, some worse than others, obviously, but it just is something that's not going to go away. anytime soon. It's become part of our new normal. You know, just like we get our flu shot every year, or we go and we get our various vaccinations, you know, every year before we start school and things of that nature. I guess COVID's here to stay. So do what you can to stay safe and to keep others safe. Also, our own Patsy Simons has been in the hospital for over a week now, and is really she's rebounding a little bit, but she has got pneumonia really bad. And her daughter Sharon has continued to text us daily, sometimes more than once daily. And so please pray for Patsy as she is there trying to get over this pneumonia even in a frail state that she is. Those of you who know her know she's a woman that is, kind of frail. And so this pneumonia be hard on her, you know, physically, but hopefully they will progress far enough by draining her lungs through various methods to get her across the street to the carriage house, where she will be able to do some healing and rehab there. So pray for her as well. We continue to ask you to pray for Deanna DeLeon as she continues to recover from that horrific car accident from early on later last year. Terrible thing, but my understanding is she's doing well. Our good sister Tammy down there is helping, even in Bible studies with Deanna. So a lot of good's coming out of that. So keep on praying. But certainly lots of folks on our prayer list. Just because I didn't mention a name doesn't mean that, you know, you're not in the frontlets of our mind. But there's a lot of good folks that certainly need prayers. And so I ask you to continue to keep those folks even in your prayers. Got a message just a little while ago Teresa Leske is on a ventilator as well. And she's one of the elders' wives there at the Broadway Church Christ in Tyler, also the secretary there. So lots of folks that we continue to hear about. Lots of those that are in dire straits right now, but need our help, certainly even in prayer. So remember those good folks as you have the opportunity in prayer today. So here we come to Matthew chapter 9, and I know I've talked almost half an hour, so I'm sorry about that, but we try to get that word out and try to thank people as much as we can. But before we get to Matthew 9, if you got your cup of coffee, join me. Love me some coffee. All right, so we are still continuing through the book of Matthew. We picked it up in 21 and are going to go just as long as it takes and try to cover the entire book. Maybe we can do it in 22. I don't know. But here we are in chapter number 9, and we come to the healing of the dumb. That is the deaf, demon-possessed man, beginning at verse 32. So as we begin, listen to God's word. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. I share on a regular basis, even in the jail ministry, each Sunday. We're currently studying in the book of Acts, and Michael already knows where I'm going with this. But it seems when you see such a magnificent crescendo moment in the Scriptures, you know, people are being saved, the book of Acts, people are being baptized, added to the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel is successful, city after city after city. But the Pharisees, but the Jews, just kind of throws a wet dish rag on it, you know? And here it is. It's the same here. It's something that we have dealt with for a long time. So here, we'll get to it in a minute, but as you do your study, there is language that we deal with from time to time that has changed over the years. Now, most of us fully recognize that dumb means deaf. The idea of not being able to speak, it shows up in several different places. And so we need to understand a lot of times that people, I guess where I was going, people often that are deaf, they have great difficulty speaking. And so they may be referred to as dumb. Now, you know, in the playground, when one of the kids says you're dumb, which we should not encourage them to say, the idea is that that has some sort of a connotation of lack of intelligence. You know, you're an idiot or whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. We've got nothing to do with a man's level of intelligence here. But obviously, as we listen to speak, we understand what's happening here. And so, please understand where we're going. One that is dumb is one that has the inability to speak. Now, also, as you look in various passages, you'll see the word showing up in different contexts. And so you look to verses like Matthew 11:5, Mark 7 and verse 32, Luke 7 and verse 22. I have it pulled up here, even in the Esword here I've got before me. Luke 7 and verse 22 says, Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Over and again, you see references to deafness and dumbness in the scriptures. And so that's important as we go through this. But the original seems to carry with it the idea of dull or even blunted, as it were, as given to us by the great expositors, even in great places like these lexicons and concordances. But in the New Testament, the word is used only of hearing and speaking. And so the meaning in each case has to be determined by the context, as we pointed out in passages like Luke 7:22. But this man had the double whammy. He also was possessed with a demon. He had the devil, as it were. So the demon might have very well been the dumbness, you know, keeping him from speaking, keeping him from this ability to communicate. Those that had been taken over by demons were, you know, afflicted, you know, based on the various passages, they were afflicted in different ways. Some had their reasoning abilities taken away. I think about the man there in the Gadara text, you know, from the area of the Gadarenes. In other cases, natural senses were affected that caused people to go into convulsions, throwing themselves into the fire, even trying to destroy themselves. The idea of acting mad, you know, some level of insaneness that is seen. So it affects people differently based on how the demon is operating within the person. So the people that witnessed this that Jesus did even before their very eyes, mixed along with the knowledge of what he had done before, the power that he had expressed before, again, they were overwhelmed. They were astonished. You know, when you go back to Isaiah 9 and verse number 6, let me just pull that up and read that together with you this morning. Isaiah 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "For unto us is a child born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I submit unto you that that first title, Wonderful, applies even here. Because everything that he does causes wonder. Not wonder like, I wonder what in the world's going on. I'm talking about, wow, man. What manner of man is this that he controls even the wind and the sea? Remember the disciples in the ship? We're going to hear more about that on that first weekend in February. But my friends, everything he does, he survived the scourging post and walked straight to the cross and allowed those Roman soldiers to affix his physical body in writhing pain to a wooden cross and let us make fun of him, let us spit on him, mock him, so that I could have a chance to go to heaven. Now tell me that that doesn't cause a great wonder within all of us. It doesn't, it should. My friends, everything that Jesus does is astonishing. You remember as John began his great gospel account, we are reminded that without him, nothing would be possible. Everything that was made by him. It's amazing. This is just one, if you'd allow me this particular thought, this is just one of the very drops in the bucket as it relates to the great wonder that Jesus produces on a daily basis. So, of course, they were astonished. Nothing like this had ever been done in Israel. That's what they said. So very powerful is Jesus. And so, as they could consider things that have been done in their history, certainly they have seen people that were lame or were made to walk. They have seen other examples of his great power. Certainly the greatest would be his resurrection. As he walked right out of the tomb and was seen after his resurrection by more than 500 witnesses. That's 1 Corinthians 15. But my friends, here is an amazing thing to behold. But the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the whited walls, the vipers. Remember all those terms that Jesus would use as he rebuked them in Matthew chapter 23. But the Pharisees, they had long since decided to reject Jesus. Their minds were made up. You remember it was in, chapter 28? My memory fails me. That happens when you get old. Michael's laughing about that. But even Pilate could look at the screaming Jews as they screamed, "Crucify him! Give us Barabbas! Kill him!" The Bible says that Pilate even saw that because of envy, they had delivered Jesus unto him to be killed. Jealous, envious, hateful. They hated his work. They hated his message. And it's really sad because they, of all people, they that were the religious leaders, they that knew the scrolls really inside and out, they should have recognized him as Messiah. But they didn't. And we knew that it would be this way because some 7 to 750 years prior to Jesus even coming and accomplishing this great feat, Isaiah told us about him. Isaiah chapter 53. That great passage from which the Ethiopian eunuch was taught the gospel and obeyed the gospel, and Philip baptized him. The Pharisees rejected him. When they were unable to deny his incredible deeds, they questioned the source of his power. Shame on them. But we see it page after page, don't we? It continues to come up. And even years after his death, as you, again, follow through the rest of the New Testament, but even in the book of Acts, the great history book of the Church of Christ, we continue to see them chasing people like Paul and Silas and Barnabas all over the country trying to upset the people and get them killed. Kill the messenger. That's really sad. But nevertheless, that's the behavior that we see. Over and again, we find that his works, his word, it cannot be denied. It was at one point when they came and asked about his authority, his power, and he responded to the Pharisaical mind, and he said, I tell you what, you tell me about the baptism of John, whether it's from heaven or whether it is of man, and following your response, I will then answer your question regarding my authority. And the text tells us that they murmured among themselves and they could not come to a conclusion. They said, now if we answer him that it's from heaven, he's going to ask us why we hadn't done it. And I mean, they knew the right answer. Yes, they did. And so their answer was idiotic. Well, we cannot tell. Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Same people here. Same negative Nelly mindset. Kill him. Crucify him. Get him out of here. But the Pharisees, Jesus didn't answer their assertion as far as the record here is concerned. All we know is that they did yet make another assertion. Later on in chapter 12, Jesus is going to address this charge and turn it on them, bring it back on top of their heads. Jesus, the master teacher. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know, this is the very thing that even Luke writes about. As the book of Acts opens up, do you remember that it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up? A little later in chapter 10, at about verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We've already looked at the opportunity, which was Matthew 3. No, I'm wrong. John 3. Michael's laughing right now because I can't remember. In John chapter 3, beginning at the top of the chapter, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. You see, here's a man that understood exactly who Jesus was. He came to him in private. And Jesus had a talk with him about baptism. Now, these Pharisees that are mentioned here, oh, what a glorious sight it would have been if they would have been like Nicodemus and understood who he was and what he was capable of. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. You know, this is something that he did on a regular basis. And so, again, one of the great examples that we can pull out of this text is if we're going to be Christians, right, Christians, if we're going to be followers, if we're going to be disciples, learners of Jesus, then we've got to be doing good and teaching everywhere we go. If we're going to be like him, we've got to be evangelistic. We've got to be benevolent. We've got to be those that build one another up, not tear one another down. So as he continues his work, even in the, you know, the general area that we are visiting right now, he goes from city to city. He goes from village to village. He goes from vicinity to vicinity, doing the same thing. What about each of us? Do we do the same thing? You know, many times we see, as his manner was, of people like Paul, others, as his manner was, what could be said about Chip? As his manner was, you see, we need to be able to be identified easily by our manner, by the way that we behave ourselves. Are we behaving like Jesus? Are we letting our light shine? Do others know that if you've got a dirty joke to tell, I don't want to hear it? Do others know these things about you? Here's a kind of a silly question. How many of you get calls on Sunday morning at like 10 a.m.? That's a pretty introspective question. And the answer should be none of us. Because our friends certainly should be sitting on the pew next to us, behind us, in front of us. People should know. Don't you dare call me on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. because I'm worshiping God Almighty. You're not going to get an answer from me on the phone. But yet, some of our friends don't know that about us. And they might very well call at 10 a.m. As we go on, verse number 36, we're close to the end of the passage. We're about 15 minutes till the hour. Verse 36 is very beautiful, certainly to the end of the passage, as we see the compassion of Jesus on display. The compassion of Jesus has been seen from Genesis 1, and it continues to be seen all the way to the end of the book in Revelation 22. But here's one of those moments in time that just really shine, cause us to be thankful about our great King and Redeemer, that he is such a compassionate one. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, we see things on television. They're marketed in such a fashion that they are meant to cause us to cry, to express our compassion. Certainly, there's all the SPCA commercials, you know, the PETA commercials, things of that nature that show these animals that are being abused, mistreated, neglected. And anybody with a heart just can't hardly stand to see that kind of stuff. Personally, for me, since we are connected to the military, my son being in his 13th year of service, when I see folds of honor advertisements, when I see tunnel to towers videos and commercials, when I see Wounded Warrior advertisements, PVA, the list is really pretty long. It sparks that compassionate note with each of us, certainly with me. People that have given their all to try to protect me. And so we have that compassionate bone within us. And so as we look to Jesus and we see him looking at the multitudes as sheep having no shepherd, I hope that we have the same mindset. I hope that we have the same opinion, the same view as we look out at the great multitudes. You know, I see multitudes of people standing in line to get a COVID test, or multitudes of people standing in line to get food from a food pantry, or, you know, masses of people. One of the masses that we see, you know, fairly regularly is in these stadiums, watching basketball, watching football, watching soccer. And I just wonder, only God knows, but I wonder how many of those are actually saved. You see, as we look at the masses of people, I hope that we have the same compassionate thought within our minds as we look to these people in the world all around us that are basically like sheep having no shepherd. He compares them to a flock of sheep. They are scattered over the hills. They're scattered all over the plains. They're in fright. They're running. They're following after him, in many cases, just for the loaves and the fishes, often. And he has compassion on them, regardless of their intent. He sees them for what they are. They are lost, and they need leadership. He could see those that were neglected by those that should have been teaching, like the Pharisees. But the Pharisees, they were just interested in money, filling their coffers. They were interested in the fame, as they would be called rabbi in the marketplaces. But they had left them to become ignorant, left them dying in the wilderness, you might say, as a flock unattended among the wolves. And so, as you begin the next verse, he said unto his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And so, as he goes from seeing the flock and looking into the harvest, he thinks about the crops. I hope that we have the same mindset. I hope that we, like Isaiah, would have the mindset to stand up and say, here am I, send me. Here am I. Friends, what are you doing? What are you doing? You say, well, right now we're having a Bible study. No, what are you doing for the kingdom? Jesus worked tirelessly. Remember we just read Acts 1, verses 1 and 2? Until the day he was taken home. What are you doing? You say, well, I read my Bible every day. Good for you. What are you doing? Let's get busy and let's get into the harvest. Today is the 7th of January. How many more days do you have this year? I don't know. That's a good answer because none of us know. What are you doing? Jesus worked every step of his life here on earth. The people followed him everywhere he went. When he sat down to pray with the Father, they thronged him. He had to get up before the crack of dawn to get away from the crowds and have a moment with the Father God. You see, as we live the life of Christians, as we seek to be imitators of him, like Paul said he was, 1 Corinthians 11:1, we need to be working every day. In some form or fashion, we need to be working. When you're filling up your gas, have you thought about asking the person on the next pump, hey, where do you go to church services? Are you active with a church congregation somewhere? Oh, well, I could never do that. Well, you better. We have that responsibility. When we are raised to walk in newness of life, we sign on a dotted line, I will serve you faithfully until the day you take me home. What are you doing? Great message. Great thought. And we're beginning to get into Matthew chapter 10. And since we are so close to the top of the hour, I'm going to go ahead and shut her down, as it were. And so as we get ready to go off the air today, please remember that we love you. I love you. I'm glad that you listened today, and certainly we're thankful for the opportunity that God has given us today, even by giving us breath in our lungs, to have the opportunity to repent and change today, if that be the need in my life. All of us can do better. Each of us can step up to the next level. But will you? I hope that you will. So next week, Lord allowing, we'll begin in Matthew chapter 10 and begin to notice the identification of the 12 that had been chosen. A great passage of study as we look at some names and some words, some identifying factors about these individuals. That's always a good study. So hopefully we'll be with you this next Friday, if the Lord allows. So today, on this 7th day of January, please, in whatever you do or say, remember that our goal is to magnify the name of Jesus Christ throughout all the world. That's our responsibility. But are you doing it? Each of us has that responsibility. If you're one of our local listeners today, hope that you've already made plans to be with us this Lord's Day. Preston is set up to preach the gospel this Sunday. He's going to do a phenomenal job. I got a little bit of a peek into his sermon for Sunday. And man, what a great study we're going to have together as we worship on the first day of the week. If you're coming to class, we're going to be there in the auditorium. We're going to be in Revelation 9, moving toward chapter 10. So be ready for that as well. And remember also at the 1:30 hour, we have our deep dive study. And so Preston will be leading us even in our 1 Thessalonians study. So lots of things going on. Hope that you can be a part of that. And remember, if you have the opportunity, that gospel meeting with Phil Sanders there in DeKalb starts even this Sunday, runs to Wednesday. So great opportunities in front of us for that too. Love every one of you. Thank you so much for listening today. And may the Lord richly bless you in all that you do and say today. Remember, you're a Christian, and the world needs to know about Christ. So pray the Lord of Harvest that the laborers would go in and do their work. Here am I, send me. Love you all, and we'll see you again real soon. Thank you for listening.
Washing the crib.